We're back with the second of our five-part series as Jim talks about Elvis's early days with Sun Records, reinterpreting some of his favorite R&B songs. And then later, we talk about how Elvis would borrow some of his famous moves from people you may have never heard of.
Well, this is a story.
So, records start to cross over.
Right.
The label men who are putting out this music and taking the original risk,
right,
smell the money. So their goal is to get their groups to cross over. The big labels start paying attention now.
Okay.
Now they've got scouts that they're sending out into the clubs and they want to know what's going on and they want to, you know, try and sign some of these artists, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The microcosm is Sam Phillips in Memphis.
Yeah.
Now he's recording Howlin' Wolf.
Right.
He's recording Roscoe Gordon.
Right.
He's recording Little Milton. He's recording Junior Parker. And he is leasing or selling all this music to other labels.
Big Bad Mama.
Now, Sam Phillips himself said, and this is the quintessential motivator for rock and roll, and his quote is famous, I'll paraphrase it, he is, if I could find a white man to sing the music of the black man, I'd make $1 million. So he's a businessman. That's what he's thinking about. He's got all these cats churning out
classic. Is this
classic
before Elvis?
B.E. Before Elvis.
Right.
So enter Elvis. Who was Elvis? Elvis was this guy that loved R&B.
Right.
He loved Wynonie Harris. He loved Roy Brown. He loved Arthur Crudup. He loved Lloyd Price.
Right.
All his early recordings are cover songs. He's covering Little Richard.
Right.
He's covering all the cats I just mentioned.
Right.
He's covering Baby Let's Play House by Arthur Gunter.
Well, you may go to college, you may go to school, you may have a pink Cadillac, but don't you be nobody's fool. And now, baby, come back. Come back, baby, I wanna play house with you.
Right? So Elvis, in his pure form, is an R&B fan.
Right.
And he's so moved by the music and so gifted naturally, vocally,
right,
that what comes out of his mouth is an interpretation.
Right.
Not just a Pat Boone who's going, oh, wop, bop, a loo, bop, a lop, bamboo.
Wop, bop, a loo, bop, a lop, bop, bop, I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do.
You know,
right.
We're talking about someone who's got something to bring to the table. You talk about Little Walter bringing something to the table when he puts his harp through an amp. Here's Elvis, and he's got something to bring to the table because his interpretation of the music he loves is something that's pushing it a little bit farther. We're still not at rock and roll yet, though. We've got R&B.
Okay.
We've got Elvis, who loves R&B, that just happens to be recorded in Sam Phillips' studio. Sam Phillips, the businessman who wants to make $1 million,
right,
sees his meal ticket.
Yeah.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let it ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window, I peered through the blind, and I asked him to tell me what was on his mind. He said,
trying to determine, like, okay, what was the first rock and roll record is kind of a ludicrous question. Now, Rolling Stone took a stab at this, and they said, oh, well, the first rock and roll record is, they decided that it was That's All Right, Mama by Elvis Presley.
Well, that's all right, Mama, that's all right for you, that's all right, Mama, just anyway.
In my mind, that's flawed on a lot of different levels. The original was done by a cat named Arthur Big Boy Crudup, who did it in the 40s. Now, Crudup's version had drums. Presley's version didn't.
Well, now that's all right, no mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, no mama. Any way you do, but that's all right. That's all right.
So which one was more rockin'? They both had electric guitar.
Right.
There was nothing about Presley's version that was truly remarkably different from an arrangement perspective than Crudup's version.
Right.
It was just Presley singing it.
Right.
Great. He's got a guitar and a bass behind him, and the slapping of the bass creates a drum-like rhythm,
right.
But Crudup had drums doing rolls, and which was very unusual to hear in the 40s when he recorded that song. You didn't hear a lot of songs that had drums that were really going nuts.
Outside of jazz.
Well, my mama, she done told me, Papa told me too, the life you live inside now, women be the death for you. That's all right now, mama, any way you do.
At the same time you have Elvis doing his thing, you've got a cat that preceded Elvis in doing rhythm and blues covers with a full band, with drums, with guitar, with bass. His name is Bill Haley.
Right.
Started out as a country cat. He did a song called Crazy Man Crazy in 53,
right,
before Elvis started recording. And it was more rock and roll than what Elvis was doing early on.
Shout, shout, crazy man, crazy. Crazy man, crazy. Crazy man, crazy.
But people like to romanticize this question. So they're going to forget about Bill Haley because Bill Haley was kind of like middle-aged when he had his band. He was already,
right,
he was already too old for us to refer to him as the first rock star, because
It wasn't sexy.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to have a face during that time, but you definitely needed to be marketable at that time.
Marketable. That's my whole point.
Okay.
What's marketable? They figured out that the whole package was the music and the way the motherfucker looks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And while we're talking about Elvis, I mean, he was such a fan of R&B that he took all his moves, that lip thing he did,
yeah,
the thing, and lip thing, and the, you know, the,
yeah,
the this, and the, that's all Wynonie Harris. He saw Wynonie Harris live. He took all Wynonie's moves. African Americans of the day who knew of Wynonie Harris and knew of Elvis referred to Elvis as the white Wynonie.
Right.
And they said, when you saw Elvis Presley perform, you were seeing a watered down version of Wynonie. Sadly, no film exists.
We have nothing.
Film exists at all.
Really?
Of Wynonie Harris. But he's legendary. He was the first rock star, in my opinion. He had the rock and roll mentality. He was a womanizer. He drank a lot. He was bawdy on stage. He was profane on stage. He sang risque music. He was dangerous. He showed up in his gigs in one Cadillac and left in another.
Right.
He had a neon sign on his front lawn that said, Wynonie Harris, world's greatest blues singer. He was living the rock and roll life, and I can't think of another personality that was as outrageous that preceded him.
Well, I just got wise and built me a loving machine. Well, you put a nickel in a slot, you hear some buzzing, kisses while they're hot, 5 cents a dozen, up to my house.
I've got something you've never seen. Well, I got hip to the tip and built me a loving machine.
Thank you for listening to the second part of our series. Stay tuned as we talk to Jim to find out what he thinks was the first rock and roll record.